In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen. St. Thomas Aquinas defines modesty as the virtue in which exterior actions, either in deed or in words, due mode is observed. Modesty is the virtue which refrains our exterior gestures, and in this sense it is a broader virtue than the modern use of the term modesty, which deals with dress and actions in relationship to the sixth and ninth commandments. This follows from the fact that our actions or exterior motions pertain to more than just those things that pertain to the sixth and ninth commandments. While modesty in the stricter or modern use of that term does pertain to those things that pertain to the sixth and ninth commandments, in the medieval use of the term it has a broader connotation in which it takes into consideration all of our exterior actions and motions. Therefore, there will be a series of homilies given to parse out or to separate out all of the different aspects of the virtue of modesty. Yet what does it mean to observe due mode, or we may say way, in our actions? St. Thomas says in his commentary on Peter Lombard's Sentences that this mode consists in three things. The first is that there are discussions with those with whom we live, and in these, the mode or the way requires austerity. For St. Thomas, austerity is a moderation of delights or pleasure. So when we speak of austerity in relationship to exterior actions, it means that we must refrain and moderate the pleasures or delights we take in our exterior actions. This is why random, irrational, and foolish behavior is contrary to the virtue of modesty, since these kinds of actions are often done for the pleasure gained out of them rather than for a virtuous end. Yet St. Thomas observes that this deals with discussions or common speech with respect to those with whom we live. This means that our speech must be hallmarked, if we are going to be modest, by several characteristics. We should follow general grammatical rules in order that our speech might be properly adorned with order. It should be moderated, that is, only speaking when necessary. The vice of loquaciousness is not only a sin against temperance, since we get a certain pleasure in talking, but it is also against modesty, since the person gets wrapped up in the pleasure of talking rather than in the proper consideration of what needs to be communicated to those around them. The speech must also have proper decorum, but we'll talk about what decorum is over the next few homilies. The second thing which pertains to the mode of modesty is with respect to, quote, exterior goods, such as clothing, horses, and things of this kind. And in these, mode requires humility, so far as to quantity in use. Hence, humility is the habit, not exceeding in cost and preparation, but simplicity so far as to the mode of seeking, which is the habit of being content in those things which happen, for there is not much care of such things, unquote. Here, St. Thomas is observing two things. The first is that modesty helps us to moderate our exterior goods. We have neither too many of them, that's the virtue of simplicity, nor too little, which can often be the result of stinginess. We give neither too much concern, which is overdue solicitude, nor too little to the things which we own, which is called negligence. We spend neither too much, which is called prodigality, nor too little, which is called stinginess again. And this is often governed by our circumstances. Hence, a person who goes out and buys a luxury car when he cannot make his house payments on his meager house is immodest. Another form of modesty with respect to simplicity and humility is when you see women who buy a very expensive purse when a more modest one is perfectly acceptable or even more fitting. This is also why in the past the church taught us that when we come to Mass dressed in suitable apparel, we must do so in suitable apparel, not too showy or ostentatious, but modest, dignified, and orderly, that is, kept and clean. Therefore, our dress ought to be moderated, not being overly prepared, which is a kind of fastidiousness, or too ostentatious, nor underprepared and not fitting due circumstances. And those particular aspects we will talk as the homilies progress. Of course, modesty is a moral virtue, which means that it is a mean in relationship to the individual. Like all moral virtues, the mean, or the middle, is that which is between excess, that is too much, and defect, which is too little. That is, a person does not have too much or too little of a particular thing based upon the particular individual and his circumstances. For example, temperance is a virtue lying in a mean, which indicates that how much the 250-pound man who works on a hard construction job should eat is significantly different than how a 160-pound man who has an office job should eat. In like manner, the modesty in relationship to humility and simplicity of what we own is relative to the individual. This means that what a king or the president should have for clothes will be different from what your common man on the street should have. Those who insist on an egalitarian society fail to realize that certain people possess certain offices or certain excellences which others do not, and therefore the possessions which are suited to them will be different. Ultimately, egalitarianism destroys the virtue of modesty. Humility in dress means that our dress suits our state in life, our status within the society, within the home, and things of this sort. Humility in dress means that we do not have dress that is above our station in life, nor below it. So, example, when you see teenagers or guys who walk around wearing what they call grunge clothing, or sloppy and torn clothing, while they come from a middle-class family, are in fact immodest, since their clothing does not fit their station in life. The third thing which pertains to the mode of modesty is with respect to, quote, one's own actions which pertain to the body. And in these, mode requires ornateness to acting, which is knowledge about what is suitable in motion and dress, so far as to externals which are considered according to due time, place, and order, unquote. This needs a bit of unpacking because it's very profound and there's a lot in it. Here, St. Thomas is saying that the person with modesty knows and acts in ways in which his actions suit the time, the place, and the order. Obviously, the person who talks before Mass in the church is not observing due time and place for talking, And so we may say that his actions are immodest. This is kind of a common problem when people come running into the sacristy when the priest hasn't even unvested. He's just turned bread into God and people are yammering in his ear and he hasn't even got invested yet. It's immodest. Yet St. Thomas also says order. And by order he means that our actions are proportionate and directed to a truly good end. St. Thomas gives the example of saying the truth at the right time, and that we use the right means or aids to a particular end. A person who is modest in speech will not say things when they should not, or in ways in which they should not. For example, often you have people who simply cannot contain themselves in correcting people. It's almost at the level of the compulsive. And so they correct everybody all the time, or they cannot help but correct people at a time when it's not conducive to that end of the person changing their life. And as a result, the person is immodest in their speech because they don't moderate it, they don't refrain it. The virtue of ornateness teaches us the suitability, that is, the congruity between our externals, that is, things that we possess and other things of this sort, our actions, and a person and even gender. Andronicus called this ornateness in the proper sense. But ornateness should be suited to a fair, that is, to the particular event or circumstances, person or place in which one's actions manifest the best order. In effect, the person's very actions become ornate by being dressed, if you will, with proper order and suitability of person to circumstances. We should never say anything or do anything that is out of place or does not suit our station in life as individuals. And this area we will talk about at length in relationship to the virtue of decorum. In reference to Proverbs, St. Thomas observes that the end of modesty is fear of the Lord. Fear of the Lord for St. Thomas is the gift of the Holy Ghost by which we turn away from depraved delights and from earthly things and turn towards God. Therefore, since modesty refrains us from inordinate delights in actions and externals, it will direct us to have fear of God in which we fear offending him by our disordered passions, appetites, and emotions. And this will also be covered under the virtue of decorum, especially in relationship to things like the liturgy and things of that sort. St. Thomas says that modesty helps us to have due maturity in observing exterior gestures. Maturity is a form of completion in which a person not only reaches a certain stage in physical growth, but that he reaches a certain stage of the interior life. That stage is hallmarked by self-denial, mortification, and a striving for excellence. In a word, maturity is the possession or the adornment of the soul of all of the virtues. Immaturity is the result of not having physically grown to completion, but people can also be spiritually immature, in which they are selfish, indulgent, and unholy. That is, they lack virtue. The perfection of modesty, that is spiritual perfection, in a person is one of the signs of advanced virtue. Modesty is one of the first virtues lost, because the minute a person ceases refraining their interior life, it busts forth into their actions and speech, such as when they get angry and they start cursing and things of this sort. So modesty is one of the first virtues lost, and it is therefore also one of the last perfected, because it requires tremendous virtue interiorly to always refrain one's external behavior. These various aspects of the virtue of modesty are often a bit abstract, and therefore sometimes people don't seem to get a full picture of how they work. For that reason, over the next few homilies, we will talk about how these various things which we have talked about in this homily work themselves out concretely in the various aspects of our lives. As always, we should pray to Our Lady, whose virtue and modesty is perfect, so that she may make us perfect in this regard. In the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost. Amen.